The Old Testament reading proper for is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 2nd and 3rd chapters. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to him, Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. On this day, we meditate on the Old Testament and the Gospel lesson as we discover that Jesus reveals to us how to observe the Sabbath. In the name of Jesus, amen. What place and purpose does the Sabbath rest have in the lives of God's people today? How does the modern Christian, or how do you, think of the Sabbath? What does it mean to rest? Is the third commandment for your good, or just another law that cramps your style? In creation, God brought into existence all that exists by his word. And in the garden, God spoke with our first parents as he came to dwell with them in the cool of the day. He spoke to Adam and told him to name all the beasts of the field, and he taught him about what it means to observe the Sabbath day. Before the fall, God spoke, and Adam and Eve listened attentively. But then another word came into that created world. A word estranged from God, a word different than God's word, as all words ultimately may become. And once another word entered God's created world, then God's word could no longer be heard nor trusted as God intended. This lost order is important. Today, you are invited to consider how and why you are to observe the Sabbath. Now, perhaps we need one more point before we can dwell on this with any depth, and that is to understand again what worship is. And I submit to you Dr. Norman Nagel's explanation of worship: our Lord speaks and we listen. When we gather here, in a way, dear friends, it is like a return to Eden, where God speaks to us with his word. Now, unlike Eden, there are a number of things that crowd in upon us and snatch that word from our ears and from our life. But it is not God's intention that we should not hear his word. And so even today, our Lord speaks and we listen. And then Nagel goes on to say, his word does what it says. And as we ponder this, I believe we can understand the structure here. First, God speaks to us, and then we respond to him. If God does not speak, there can be no good response. And Nagel goes on to say, the rhythm of our worship is from him to us, and then from us back to him. Today we shall see through our Lord Jesus Christ that as the Father sends the Son and he speaks his word and gives that word of God, he does so for the wealth and benefit of the neighbor. So, from God to us, and then from his word we receive, from his word received, we speak back to him. That is how we pray, that is how we worship, that is how we know God. If no word from God, there can be no worship. Why did God give us the commandments? I remember on this very campus, maybe 20, 25 years ago, I was wandering through the school, and I heard one of the classroom teachers ask that question of her students. She asked it this way: why did God give us the law? Met with silence. So she added a little bit. Did he give us the law because he loved us or because he hated us? And much to my amazement, every kindergartner understood exactly the correct answer: because he loved us. So understand, dear friends, that God gives us this commandment of a day of rest and refreshment to be both spiritual and physical, both spiritual rest and physical rest from our daily labors. Now, in the Old Testament today, we come across the law of God that gives us this Sabbath day. And in the Gospel, we have two examples of how this law has been misinterpreted and misread. The first example is of the disciples of Jesus walking through the fields of grain on the Sabbath, and they're reaching out and taking some nourishment. For the Pharisees, this was work. And you could not work on this day. Unless, of course, it was your donkey or oxen that had fallen into the pit. And then you could also, by a circumvention, also invite your neighbor to participate in getting him out. And neither one of you would break the Sabbath. As long as it was for you, I suppose it was okay to the Pharisee. The second example is even more so. We have a suffering man with a withered hand. He comes to Jesus. He desires. The Pharisees are looking. Will he break the Sabbath? Will he do work on the Sabbath? They cry. And so Jesus says to the man, reach out. And his hand was restored. He didn't touch him this time, as he often does. He merely gave him his word. For the word of God is that which restores us as well. When we come with withered lives and withered hearts and withered intentions, God speaks his word of forgiveness and mercy and grace to us. Misuse of this day is not just for Pharisees. It's kind of incumbent upon our day. I remember hearing stories of the office communities where people had to come back and sort of nap at their desks on Mondays because they had such a great rest and relaxation time over the weekend. Is that what it is for you? Or is the day of rest rather like a whiny child? Do I have to go to church? This is my day off. I have to get my rest and recreation today. I don't have time to worship. Now, the Pharisees' outward keeping of the law allowed them to keep it by twisting it. But Jesus has not come to twist this law of God. He has come to fulfill it. And today he teaches us what that fulfillment is. Christ fulfills the true meaning of the Sabbath and fulfills all of the law of God for you. And we are reminded that love is the fulfilling of the law. Jesus is no mere example that you should follow. Well, be kind to your neighbor, do this. No, rather, in Christ, when you are reconnected to him as you were in your baptism, to God the Father, then you can love the neighbor as Christ loved the neighbor. This is no mere example. The disciples needed to eat. The withered hand needed mending. The love of the Father sends the Son. The Son keeps the law perfectly for all humanity, including you and me. He fulfills the law of God for you and me. And he pays your penalty and mine for violating God's law. He does this out of love for you. From the cross, he reaches out with love and forgiveness for you. Today, the Lord of the Sabbath reveals how to fulfill the real will and law of God. Because he is love, and love is fulfilling of the law, we see that love is in action in both cases. Connected to him in baptism, his love flows through you to the neighbor in need. Nurtured by his word, you are taught by him how to hear, how to keep, how to live his word. His body and blood given now flows through you as you love. Because God is love, he knows both your physical and especially your spiritual needs. You come to this place because he invites, encourages, but because you also come for your needs. You need his word to guide.
You need his word to comfort sin-filled lives and afflicted and deadly hearts. He comes to this place to lead. You need his word to forgive and restore you to sonship. You need to hear him say to you, "All is well, my child. You bear my name. You eat my flesh. Now you may also love my word. You may also love to do good, love to be my arms and hands of love to those in need, love to be in service to all I put in your path. Through your hands, his hand feeds the hungry. Through your hands, through your mind, through your words, from your lips, his hand restores withered lives and failed lives. Through you, his word of life is proclaimed to neighbors near and far. And until that day, when you receive eternal Sabbath rest, it will be so because Christ has said so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.